You dirty rat. This is the payoff. This is where you get what's coming to you. Take this. One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me. Two for you.
This is the Hector Q. Peabody Show, and this is Chuck Shaden along with
Dan McGuire
sitting at my left here. I know it. And we're going to be here for a half an hour, and doggone it, Hector Q. Peabody hasn't shown up yet. He's not here.
Yeah, but I don't care. That's all right with me. I'll just go right ahead and play music.
Boy, you're awfully cheerful. How come?
Well, I ought to be. You know that fortune teller who operates on Main Street just a few blocks from the station?
Oh, yeah, you mean the one who stands outside his shop and smiles at everyone who goes by?
That's the one.
Sure, I know. I come past there a lot of times.
Well, I've got nothing against swamis and clairvoyants, but this particular guy has an annoying habit of grabbing my arm every time I walk past his shop and trying to drag me inside. And all the time he keeps smiling and grinning and showing off those big white teeth of his.
Yeah, I guess, Dan, that could be pretty annoying, but I don't see what that has to do with your looking so contented today.
Well, I'm coming to that. You see, on the way over here today, I thought I was going to be late, so I was more annoyed than usual when this fortune teller grabbed my arm and starts giving me a sales talk. I told him I was in a hurry and not to bother me, but he wouldn't let go and he wouldn't stop talking.
Yeah.
So I finally got mad and poked him right in the nose, and that's why I'm so happy.
Oh, I get it. You mean that...
Yeah, certainly. I struck the happy medium.
Hello, kiddies. This is your old Uncle Steve with another bedtime story. Once upon a time, in the little village of Ubop Shabam, there lived a frantic little canary named Cinderella. At the time our story opens, Cindy was making it the least. And to fill in between unemployment checks, she was working at a small rib joint run by her stepmother and her two stepsisters. All of them real crows, you know what I mean? To give you an idea of Cindy's stepmother's style, she actually put a sign up over her counter that said, "We reserve the right to serve refuse to anyone." Well, sir, word reached the girls one day that the local prince, a very cool and handsome cat indeed, was planning to throw a big ball. And this was one ball that was really going to be a ball. Cindy's stepmother said, "Baby, you're going to have to stick around in 10 bar while I take the girls out to buy them some crazy threads for the party." "Oh, wow," said Cindy. "This sounds like a bum kick. I'd like to make it over to the party myself." "Take it up with your agent," said the evil stepmother. "You stay here. That's the lick." Well, the day of the party finally dawned, and Cindy was very unhappy. Suddenly, a sprightly little figure appeared on her windowsill, holding a big wand. "Bless my soul," said Cindy. "It's Guy Lombardo." "Ah, no, my child," said the figure. "I'm your fairy godmother." "There's a crazy straight line," said Cindy. "What's the bit?" "Baby," said Cindy's godmother, "I have fixed it up for you to go to the party tonight in a pumpkin." "Well, if it's a 53 pumpkin with wire wheels, you've got a deal," said Cindy. Whereupon, with a wave of her wand, the fairy godmother transformed the pumpkin and 6 white mice into a fancy carriage and 6 white horses. Well, the party was really swinging when Cindy blew in, and whom should she meet right from the top but the handsome prince? "Baby," said the prince, "would you try this slipper on for size?" "Hold on, man," said Cindy. "I was looking for a party, but it looks like I walked into Tom McCann's by mistake." Mama, said the prince, I dig you the most. Let's scuffle. Crazy, said Cindy. And for the next several hours, she and the prince, Arthur, murried it up all over the joint. Suddenly, Cindy noticed that it was almost midnight, and she recalled her godmother's warning that she must be home by 12 straight up, for at that time, the carriage and horses would revert to the hands of receivers. In a panic, Cindy cut out and headed for home, leaving the prince with a glass slipper in his hand. Next day, the prince started a coast-to-coast search for the girl whose foot was dainty enough to fit the slipper. And eventually, he got around to Cindy's house. Well, the stepsisters came on real salty when they saw the prince try the slipper on Cindy. Oh, Dad, they said, this chick is too square. We don't like to put her down, but as princess material, she's the lowest, you know? I'm hip to your motive, said the prince, perceiving in the instant that Cindy was the girl for whom he'd been seeking. Ah, Cindy, he said fondly, I could book you for 2 weeks at the palace with options. What do you say? Nutty, said Cindy, planting a kiss on his chops. And from then on in, kiddies, they lived groovily ever after.
Well, folks, it's time once again on the Hector Q. Peabody Show for one of our interviews with people of unusual occupations. Today we have with us a man who has probably been on more radio and television shows than anyone else in the country. His name is Patrick Kilpatrick, and he's a professional heckler from the Bronx. Hello, Mr. Kilpatrick.
Drop dead. What are you, loudmouth or something?
Why, Pat, I was only trying to be congenial, you know.
Congenial? Huh? Give that man 25 silver pennies for that two-bit word.
Now, Pat, take it easy. You're not here as a professional heckler today. I'm supposed to interview you.
Ah, your father's mustache. Go play with your tinker toys, kid.
Pat, if you don't stop that, you'll have to leave. Now, I've got a question I'd like to ask you.
I've got a question for you, too. Where'd you get that ugly puss of yours?
Pat, please, here's my question. Did you get many requests for autographs in your profession?
No, but I've been kicked out of some of the best radio and television studios in the country. I bet that's more than you can say, you broken-down imitation of a vaudeville clown. Say, what makes your ears flop over like that?
I don't know. I guess there's not enough starch in them. I'll have to tell the maid to... Now, look, Pat, I warned you about that stuff. Now, cut it out or we'll call off this interview.
It's all right. Ask me some questions. Don't just stand there with your stomach bouncing on the floor. Yeah. Open your mouth and get your big pointed tongue flapping.
Mr. Kilpatrick, please. Now, which type of show do you enjoy heckling most, radio or television?
Radio, especially when it's an interview program. The guys who do them interviews are the biggest hams in the business, and it's more fun heckling them than anybody else. I usually stand on my chair and start booing and hissing, you know? Sometimes I give them the old raspberry.
I know. We understand how you work.
I love to give them the old raspberry. I just stick out my tongue as far as I can and I go...
I see. Well, that's very interesting, Mr. Kilpatrick. Yes, we get the idea. Now, Pat, if you don't mind, we'd like to... All right, that's enough. Now, cut it out, will you? This is a serious program, and we've had just about enough fooling around. Listen, Kilpatrick, if you don't stop it, I'm going to have you thrown right out of this studio.
You wouldn't dare, you bum.
Oh, I wouldn't, would I? Why, you good-for-nothing loudmouth, I'll show you. Hey, fellas, will you get this guy out of here?
Did you call us, Mr. Shady?
Yes, I did. These are our bouncers, Mr. Kilpatrick. I'll show you I've got the nerve. Go right ahead, fellas. Toss him out in his ear.
You just try it, you guys. You just try it.
Go on, get him out of here before I go crazy.
Better come quietly or we'll have to hurt you.
You guys can't get away with this. I'll talk to the city council. I'll notify the mayor. I'll sue.
Oh, yeah? We'll see if you sue. I'll sue you, you see.
Let go of my necktie. Come on now. Quit struggling.
I'll give it to you guys for this. I'll come back and bust every window in the place. You'll be sorry.
Oh, shut up and close the door on your way out.
You just wait for it. You'll regret this day. I'll see you.
Oh, am I glad that's over with. Joe, make some music or something. My nerves are shot.
Thank you. them on the doorstep. Life's sweet. Just direct your feet to the sun, sunny side of the street. Hop, bottle, doodle, that bitter path. You know that happy tune is my step. Life's all right. If you dig that beat on the sun, sunny side of the street. Used to walk in the shade with my blues on parade. What a drag, old man. Getting stuck in the shade. Get hip, don't be afraid. Move it on over. Kill yourself in the clover. Only hit for a tin can. Rich as Rockefeller. Can't be beat. Gold dust round my feet. On the sunny, sunny side of the
Folks, are you tired of being a wallflower?
Are you tired of sitting every dance out when you go to parties simply because you don't know how to dance?
Can you move your left foot in front of your right and then your right in front of your left?
If you answered these questions in the affirmative, then you should send for the sensational book called Dancing Made Easy in 12 Difficult Lessons.
Bigelow's Bargain Basement now has on sale, while they last, 250,000 copies of this instructive book, which must go.
Therefore, Bigelow's is offering this wonderful book, which normally retails at $4.95, for only $4.89.
Just think of it. The best-selling book of 1928, written by Johann Sebastian Strauss. Yours at a saving of 6 cents.
Now, friends, here's exactly what this terrific book consists of.
Two covers, front and back.
337 pages conveniently located between these two covers.
249 pages of instructions by the author, Johann Sebastian Strauss.
83 pages of complete illustration accompanying each lesson.
5 blank pages on which you can scribble memos.
And here are the dances you'll be able to do like
you'll
a professional.
You'll have so much fun.
Yes, after you've finished reading this marvelous book.
The Foxtrot.
The Charleston.
The Turkey Trot.
The Minuet.
The Virginia Reel.
And many other interesting and delightful dance steps.
Now you may say, but these are old dance steps. They're out of fashion. Go ahead, say it.
All right, but these are old dance steps. They're out of fashion.
Aha, but there's where you'd be wrong, because all these dance steps are bound to come back, and when they do, you'll be the most popular person in your community, because you'll be able to do all of them.
How do we know that these dance steps will come back?
Elementary. Look at the Dior figure. It came back.
Look at the Mambo. It came back.
Look at Little Sheba. She came back.
Look at Lassie. She came back.
Look at Mary's Little Lamb. It came back.
Look at the Continental Tire. It came back.
Look at the new look. It came back.
Look at that check we mailed last week. It came back.
Look at that rheumatism you've had last year. It came back.
Look at Gone with the Wind. It came back.
Look at Gloria Swanson. She came back.
Look at the spoked wheels on cars. They came back.
Yes, friends, the more you look, the more you realize that history repeats itself. And when it does, you'll be in on the ground floor.
If you invest $4.89 in this terrific bargain now on sale at Bigelow's Bargain Basement.
So hurry right over to Bigelow's Bargain Basement today. And when the man in the book department approaches you and says, "What can I do for you?" just say,
"Shall we dance?"
Love to.
All right, you guys, don't move. This is a stick-up.
Dan, and be careful, he's got a gun.
Yeah, caution, Chuck, caution. Be careful now, very careful.
What do we do?
Only one thing.
What's that?
First you put your two knees close up high. You swing 'em to the left and then you swing 'em to the right. Step around the floor kinda nice and light. And then you twist around with all of your might. Spread your loving arms way out in space. You do the eagle rock with such style and grace. You put your left foot out and then you bring it back. That's what I call ball of the jack.
Oh, don't do me that way. Listen to that man go. He's crazy. I swear he's crazy.
Oh, dim boy.
Now follow me closely, real close on this one, and do me after me.
First you put your two knees close up tight. Real close, swing him to the left and then you swing him to the right. Oh, you're delicious. Step around the floor kind of nice and light and then you twist around with all of your might. Spread your loving arms way out in space. You do the eagle rock with that style and grace. You put your left foot out and then you bring it back. That's what I call Ball of the Jack.
Stay tuned for that exciting new radio game, Truth or Your Life. Well, hi, everybody. It's time to play Truth or Your Life, the program that asks questions of you and the audience at home. And if you fail to answer correctly, we fly you to our studios and you see passing before you in review your life. And now to begin our program for today, here is our number one master of ceremonies, Ralph, Truth or Your Life, Finkelheimer.
Well, thank you, Clarence, and hi out there. This is Ralph Finkelheimer with another edition of Truth or Your Life, the fascinating new radio game that is a direct copy of two other well-known programs. Now, you'll find out how our game is played as the program progresses. All right, Clarence, have we our first contestant on the phone?
We have, Ralph. It's a lady from Asbury, Connecticut.
Fine, let me speak to her. Hello, is this Mrs. Constantine Schlump from Asbury, Connecticut? It is? Well, Mrs. Schlump, I have a question for you, and if you fail to answer it, you'll have to pay the penalty. Now, here's the question. Who was born on a pirate's ship? Now, think hard, Mrs. Schlump. Very hard. Who was born on a pirate's ship? I'm sorry, Mrs. Schlump. You didn't tell the truth, and so you'll have to pay the penalty. Now, go out front door, out to your front door, and get into that airplane that's waiting outside. Right? No, I'm serious. Now, go to the door and get into that plane. We'll wait.
Ralph, Mrs. Constantine Schlump from Asbury, Connecticut, is here on our stage now, ready to pay the penalty.
Fine. And how are you, Mrs. Schlump?
Fine.
And how did you enjoy the trip out here?
Fine.
Well, Mrs. Schlump, you didn't answer the question correctly, so you'll have to pay the penalty.
Fine.
Which is this. We've gone to practically no expense to fly all of your relatives into our stage and have you meet them again. Because, Mrs. Schlump, here is your life.
Fine.
From your hometown of Asbury, Connecticut, here's your husband. And your grandmother. And your 18 children. Your dog. Your mother and father-in-law. Your grocer. The butcher. Baker. Candlestick maker. Your neighborhood policeman. The friendly doctor who brought you into this world. Your nurse for your first 7 minutes of life. The cleaning woman who cleaned up for the hospital room after you left from your operation on your left leg for sinus in 1927. The man who washed your front steps with alcohol in 1931. The lady who helped you across the street when you were a little girl afraid of horses and buggies. And finally, Mrs. Schlump, your oldest and dearest friend, your closest and most trusted pal, the person who helped you when you were in need of help, the person who comforted you when you were in need of comfort, the person who aided you when you were in need of aid, your husband's first wife. Well, Mrs. Constantine Schlump, that's your life. What have you to say for yourself?
Thank you.
Well, that's our Hector Q. Peabody show for today. Hector still hasn't shown up, and I don't know what we're going to do about it.
Well, cheer up. Christmas is coming, and maybe by the time it does, we'll get Hector for Christmas. Santa Claus will bring him.
Well, I'll be surprised if Santa Claus brings Hector.
Maybe he'll stick him in a stocking.
Sure.
If he fits.
Well, I don't know. Why don't we give the credits and get out of this place?
All right. Records through the courtesy of the Congressional Library.
Cinemascope lenses by Arthur Murray.
Sound by Marconi.
The bouncer on today's program was David Jacobson. Joe Abruscato was our engineer. This is Chuck Shaden.
And Dan McGuire saying we'll see you again next week.
This has been a CLS production?